I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors, great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost, absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food and hospitality. Stressfactory.com.
Flemington Car and Truck Country is out to break all sales records during their final 2017 model year closeout, happening at every one of their 8 locations on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington. This is Jay Black here to tell you that if you're in the market for a car, now is the time to act. Take advantage of great incentives, incredible discounts, along with the most attractive pricing you'll find anywhere on the last of the 2017 models. And that's on top of all current manufacturer incentives. Choose from hundreds of available Ford, Lincoln, Audi, Porsche, Volkswagen, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, Infiniti, BMW, and Subaru models. Qualified buyers can get financing as low as 0% APR on select models. And if you're in the market for a certified pre-owned, there are hundreds of available vehicles there too, all clearance priced. The final 2017 model year closeout at all 8 Flemington Car and Truck Country dealership locations on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington. Call 1-800-FLEMINGTON or visit Flemington.com. That's Flemington.com. Flemington Car and Truck Country, family of brands. Family, independent, not corporate.
Welcome back to Speaking Millennial. I'm Bill Spadia. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram.
Did you have more of a pat at the beginning of that?
I just started right away.
Yeah, like did it even start when you hit
it? Did it start? I saw you hit the button.
Yeah.
You're looking at me, I can't see.
I know. You know what? I went off, I was using my peripheral vision and I saw the button hit and I heard it. And then I heard the tap. Is there a delay? Is that what it is?
I feel like there is.
All right, so let's pretend I didn't start the podcast already.
And I think it's important for you to know this, Bill, because a lot of times you'll, like, after a podcast, you'll be like, hey, just, you know what, massage that in editing. My editing skills are not...
Fix it in post.
They're like hard breaks, and it's like, you start again.
So if you're listening, and luckily because
we just ran through 2 podcasts, though, where you needed no edits.
Right. I mean, this one, I feel like this might spiral out of control. But
he is a good editor because that one time I made you read your email, I like went back and listened to it and I was like, okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
When we set up the air conditioning Twitter account.
Mm-hmm. No.
Is that still an active Twitter account?
Jay is apparently an expert at editing the podcast after the fact.
Yeah. Wait, is there a real Twitter account?
Yeah.
There is a real Twitter, NJ1015AC.
Am I not following that Twitter
Probably
account?
Probably not.
Can I ask this question? Well, let me just start the podcast again. Hey, welcome to Speaking Millennial. I'm Bill Spadia. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Bill Spadia. I'm here with Jessica Nutt. Follow her at Chasing Jess Nutt. And Jay Black, just go see him on stage.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
Just come see.
His depression comes out on the podcast. So on stage, very, very funny.
You know what? Every show might be my last.
Jessica and I deal with his depression.
Yeah.
Like, we're almost his therapist. Wouldn't you say, Jay, like, don't you feel like this is kind of a therapy session for you?
I feel like, first off, I have so much outside therapy that isn't this. It makes me sad that I still need to like constantly talk about stuff. Every time I see my therapist writing shit down, I'm like, you're going to write a book, aren't you? Like, he's got that look like,
probably.
Does he then say it's going to be a Hallmark movie someday?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, here's the problem. You would think with this depression, I'd be a better writer. like you would say, like, hey, what does he use that dark demon place for? Does he write the poetry? Is it Shakespeare level place? Nope. Pap. It's pap.
This, my brain just jumped to the punchline in Philly.
Yeah.
That I won't be on stage with you, but we'll join you on stage sometime after Thanksgiving.
By the way, tomorrow is the show at the punchline.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
JayBlackComedy.com.
I want to know if we can give out tickets.
Can we do that? Remember when you tweeted that and I was like, you were like, win tickets, subscribe. And I was like, can we do that?
I have tickets.
I don't know.
I have tickets to give out.
So how would we give out tickets? So to your point, it's harder on the air. Like, if I give them out, I have to be able to deliver them right away. It's very complicated.
You know what?
But with the podcast, the question is, like, How would we get their names? Could they leave it in the comments and we pick someone random?
Yeah,
and they can show up at Will Call?
That's a good idea. I'll put it in the write-up and we'll just say, write in the comments, you know, like we'll pick a random person in the comments and we'll do it at the Will Call. That's the way we'll do it.
All right, what do you want them to write though? Like, I think it could be, how about a real critique?
Sure.
Like, what's something they'd want to hear? Like the best comment. How do you, I don't know how you write
How about
that.
This? No, question.
Put your email address in the topics.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about this? Do
his crazy email address.
Just do my email address. I'll get crazy emails.
Do you want the crazy emails? No, you don't. You don't want the crazy emails.
I know dudes on the internet.
I mean, not that anyone listening is going to send a crazy email.
Now, if you're a fan of mine, you're a creep probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
If you're like, every once in a while, somebody will show up at like one of my gigs and they'll have like a DVD of like a show that I did, like a TV show. And they'll be like, could you sign this? And I'm always wary. I'm always like, oh, you're a fan of mine? Yeah. And I was like, get away from me. There's got to be something wrong with you. Like, if you're sitting there like, I'm a real big fan of that guy. It's like, well, okay, what kind of, are you here for a kidney? Like, what do you want? What do you want from me?
See, you have become very cynical.
No, I think you're a realist.
Your regional fame is making you, is that real? No, I think it's negative. I think it's cynical.
Hey, listen,
like, I love to go to events and people are like, oh, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, you're.
Love that.
Yeah, that one time that bartender knew who you were so happy.
I was happy, but if he was.
Where was that? When was
he
that?
He was so was happy to tell us about it.
Sure.
Oh, yes. You were thrilled.
If that guy was a fan, if that guy was like, oh my God.
Well, he was clearly a fan. He had seen you.
But no, just seeing me is fine because I'm out there. But
oh, I got to say something. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Popcorn. Your father-in-law calls my radio show often.
I know. He calls me all the time because I think...
Mike from Medford.
I think because...
Mike from Medford. Oh, I think he may be calling every day.
Jay is like, I know. He keeps calling my house too.
Yeah, so, no. He does the same thing. He calls me up and he'll go like, did you hear me on Spadia? And I'm like, no. I was in Reno. Like, do you think I woke up at 6 a.m.?
I think he's been on 4 or 5 times in the last couple of weeks. So I got to tell him, I'm ready to reinstitute a rule that you can only call once every 30 days.
Okay, because of him?
Well, he reminded me that we used to have that
rule. That was a rule.
Right, there's another guy. It is, well, it was a rule.
Does he have,
I don't think it's a rule anymore.
Is he bad on air or is he good on air?
He's perfectly acceptable on air.
Okay.
Because he's thoughtful.
All right.
He's smart.
And he's got different opinions.
And he's got different opinions. Mm-hmm. So actually, I would say he's good on air. But sometimes it's like, it's the same, you don't want to have the same conversation every day.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And you know, with me, I popcorn all around. So sometimes my callers will do the same thing.
Gotcha.
And they're like, well, I called to talk about this, but I'm thinking I really want to say this. I'm like, yeah, but I was talking about that 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Well,
anyway, I'm just
first off, you're popcorning. I need to tell you this. That's why the edits work. Because if you're listening and all of a sudden it hard cuts to like, you know, we're talking about like politics and then it hard cuts to you going, you know, golden retrievers are the fluffiest dog and here's why. It's hard
they
to
are
tell.
Very fluffy.
It's hard to tell.
It's true.
It's very hard to tell. Did we actually hard cut to that or did you hard cut in the room? Did you make that right turn? So that's why the editing.
Because I do that. That happens.
Someone's blowing up over there. What's going on?
Well, not me.
It's me.
How many dick pics did you get, Bill? That's why your friends.
Oh, Jillian. Really happy with being on the podcast.
Oh, last week. Yeah. She's texting now because time travel.
Oh, right. Time travel. I forgot about time travel.
I feel so lucky to have this arm microphone.
Yeah,
you do. Yeah, because you're relaxed.
I can stand. Now I can relax.
I'm leaning in.
Yeah. Just like the Melissa Meyer would tell you to. Lean in, Bill.
That's not that girl that wrote that. Are you talking about Lean In?
Yeah, who wrote Lean In?
Not that girl.
Wasn't it Melissa Mayer? I thought it was Melissa Mayer.
We have.
I'll look it up.
Go to the Google.
I'll look it up here. Let's see.
So I had wanted to talk about. I actually had a subject in mind today.
Okay,
you're both on your phone. So for the listening audience,
Sheryl
Jessica
Steinberg?
And Jay are both Sheryl buried Sandberg. In their phones. What's her name?
Sheryl Sandberg. Women Work and the Will to Lead. If I wrote a book, it would be called Lean Out. Jay Black and the Will to Die.
God, depression has carried you through 3 weeks of the podcast. And I'm really, here's the problem, that we're projecting 3 weeks forward and you will have that much more under your belt in terms of your
I'm either
prescriptions
gonna be,
and your actual therapist.
Here's the deal. I'm either going to be coming off of a life-altering bender or I'll be in a good spot. So we'll see. It's like, you know what this is? Punchline cliffhanger. What shows up?
Which Jay Black are you going to get? I am now going to popcorn three episodes back.
Okay, let's do it.
Two episodes back. The first one we did on the same Friday that happened popcorn 3 weeks ago. I mentioned something that I was worried that Jay Black was going to die. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
God.
And then I realized I popcorned out of that and we never got back to your potential death.
Back in Reno because of how sick I was. Yeah.
I'm like, that guy's really sick. And then I thought, you're on your own and there's no way Steve Hofstetter is going to take care of you. Like, he strikes me as the kind of guy to be like, that kind of sucks, dude.
He's a caring...
He strikes me as that guy.
He's a caring person, but he wasn't with me in Reno. The only thing that was with me in Reno was what's with everybody in Reno, demons. That's so, the only thing, demons and baggage.
So then I started thinking, well, what happens if Jay dies? Like, what do you do?
Nothing. I mean,
no one will know? Because he's alone in a hotel room?
I was thinking,
replace
him on the podcast. I was actually thinking that.
Thinking of a replacement?
I was being... practical. I'm like,
Jay,
you know,
who would you like to replace
you? Yeah, let's talk about that. Who would replace you?
First off, I would like possibly the air conditioner to replace me.
Oh, okay. That's...
You know what? Eric Scott from The Morning Show would be a great replacement. And I constantly want you to give him evil eye about sitting in my chair.
God, he does get angry about the chair.
I think that would be nice. Here's my whole view on dying. I have the same one that Kurt Vonnegut has. Like, Kurt Vonnegut once wrote that he was at a party talking about life insurance. And he was talking to his friend and he was like, can I ask you a question? Won't you be dead? And he stopped for a second. He's like, oh my God, you're right. And he canceled his life insurance on the spot. He said, it doesn't matter. That's my view. If I'm dead.
You know, the insurance is not for the person dying.
Yeah, but I'll be dead.
You say Kurt Vonnegut. I only think of Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Hey, Vonnegut, do you read lips?
And another thing, Vonnegut.
I'm stopping payment on the chair. I don't know who wrote your paper on Kurt Vonnegut, but I can tell you he knows nothing about Kurt Vonnegut. And another thing, Vonnegut. What? I'm stopping payment on the check.
Now, Jessica, I know we lost you on
that. It's so gone.
But I think you might like it.
I'm going to be scrolling through Instagram, nodding at you two.
I thought you were going to look up what we were just talking about.
Rodney Dangerfield,
Back to School.
Robert Downey Jr. was in that.
Yes, he was in that.
He played the best friend of the Jason, the main character.
I met him and had a very awkward political conversation with him.
With Robert Downey Jr.?
With Robert Downey Jr.
Why?
So I was working, this was a long time ago. I was working for President Bush, the first one.
Herbert Walker.
George Herbert Walker Bush.
1,000 points of light.
And it was...
You were one of the points of light, Bill.
I was a point of light.
Congratulations.
I was a very small point, but I was a point. So it was at the convention in Houston, the Republican convention.
Is this 92 or 88?
1992.
Okay.
So he's running for re-election. I was the national youth coordinator.
Okay. Well, you could have done a better job, Bill, as it turned out.
I did a shitty job. The vote was horrible. We got crushed.
You kept popcorning around going, you know, Perot has a lot of good thoughts.
So listen to this. I think you're mixing the message up.
The
sound is really making some sense. So anyway, Robert Downey Jr. and I rode around this ranch on a golf cart and we talked politics because he was doing, and I never saw the release. And I don't know where it is. I've never found it on the internet. It was called The Last Party.
The Last Party.
The Last Party, Robert Downey Jr. I don't know if it
was recorded.
Yeah, he was doing a documentary on young people in politics, as crazy as it is. And he did the Democrats and the Republicans. I don't know if it ever went out. But anyway, he was
heavily on drugs at the time.
I was wondering, I think maybe he just forgot that he had done it.
You know, I'm just picturing you like Forrest Gumping your way through that. Like you're the one like, I need an opinion. What should I say? Well, I just saw Dirty Harry. You know what you should say? Read my lips. No new taxes. Strikes me as something that'll never come back to haunt you, HW.
How could that ever hurt you?
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
You know, I never saw Forrest Gump.
I don't like Forrest Gump.
Have you seen it?
You've never seen the movie?
Never seen Forrest Gump.
You would like it.
Does that strike you as odd?
Yeah, no, it's a good movie.
Is it?
No, you'd like it. It's right-wing propaganda. It very much is.
Really? Well, then maybe I'm interested.
Okay, so here's the problem with Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump is someone who only obeys orders, and everything good in his life comes from blindly following what authority tells him to follow. The bad person in the story, the one that you're supposed to hate, is Jenny. She is the left wing. She is the liberal, really? The hippie. So Forrest Gump is saying that in America, you can be a dummy, but so long as you listen to those in authority and do everything they tell you to do, you'll be rich and your friends will grow legs. That's what it says. Lieutenant Dan, you grew legs and you'll invest in Apple. So
do I need to watch this movie?
You'll like it. But I remember even watching it going, something isn't striking me as good about this.
Wait a minute. Did you have movie homework?
What do you mean?
4 episodes ago?
Godfather.
Were you supposed to watch The Godfather?
Was I?
Yes. All right. So for the next one.
You watch Forrest Gump. I'll rewatch it and get angry. Gump.
You should watch The Godfather.
Forrest Gump is one of those movies they play on like the Lifetime, like girly channels during the day that will be on in the background while I do laundry.
Exactly. That's how propaganda gets you.
Look how relaxed Jessica is.
Yeah.
Like you've got, it's you're so like, warm
you're
in
lounging,
here.
You're like,
did you know it's you Saturday for me? That's why I wanted you to go on a beer run before you got here.
You should have texted me. Let me know next time.
This is Monday for me. I'm a comedian.
Well, Fridays, Fridays are good for recording.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I'm usually out of Chasing News early. We recorded 2 shows today, though.
Oh, you banged out too, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a special veteran show. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll see how it comes out.
I want to go back to Youth Pastor Bill in Houston. How about that?
With Robert Downey Jr.
Well, so what was
I didn't really, I mean, I don't know what movie he had done.
But hang on,
to that point,
he did Chaplin in 91, and that was...
So it must have been right after Chaplin.
Yeah, that was...
Everybody, well...
Chaplin was great.
So it's a funny story. We had MTV was there, and I did a whole thing.
Hold on one second. What? Jessica, that's music television. It was very big.
Isn't MTV
They brought back TRL. Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
What's TRL?
Oh, it's
Total
what
Request
was
Live?
On TV in like middle school every single day after school.
And it's like a call-in, like you can request a video?
Yeah, who is the main guy that has his talk show on... Carson Daly.
Yeah.
Carson
Daly. You know
Daly.
Carson Daly is? He's on like the Today Show
I
now.
Do know Carson Daly. What I'm trying to see if I can... I don't think my...
Get nearly as comfortable as me?
I want to be that comfortable.
You'd have to definitely go change. Like,
yeah, I don't think you can wear
a
tie.
See, here's the problem. Can you hear me? Is my level all right?
Yeah. Is this
all right? I'm feeling somewhat relaxed now.
Bill, when you were youth coordinator for all of the Bush campaign, was this your dress down day? Would you put on your blazer and your khakis?
As you can tell, yeah. I'm not wearing a suit today.
Well, while I was running to get tux.
So wait, you were the youth coordinator?
Wow, you really harped on that. I thought that was a good story about a great small business that helped me in my time of need.
Yeah, it very
sometimes
much.
Sometimes I have to wear a tux when
I
MC
everyone
events.
Thinks their dry cleaners are great. That's why you go back to them. Otherwise, you wouldn't go back to them.
No, I treat my...
I think
close.
You're right.
They're close.
Do you have a cobbler?
Do I have a cobbler?
Yeah.
No.
You do? I do too.
Yeah.
And he's, you know what? He's great.
I've never bought shoes that were... And by the way,
Luigi.
I'm assuming...
Luigi is my shoe guy.
I'm assuming you mean a shoe guy and not someone who makes you peach pie. I'm assuming that you're not talking...
I do love peach cobbler.
Yeah.
I love peach cobbler. The brown sugar and the butter.
You can make any kind of cobbler.
I just particularly like...
The only good part about Reno is that they give you...
This is so awkward. I need an arm.
Yeah. You need an arm?
Look how far away the mic is. I have a big mouth, but this is not helping me.
I want to go back for a second to you being youth coordinator for...
Yes.
For you, the whole country.
Yes. My job was... Yes.
Just the Republican side?
Yes. I was in charge of the 18 to 29-year-old vote.
Let me ask you a question.
I had just gotten out of the Marines, too.
It had to have been easy because I feel like only 9 people
it was easy
between
to 18
and 29 voted for Bush in 92.
I'll tell you though, it was a fun job because I would go out early before stops, like before all the debates,
right.
Meet up with the Secret Service, and my job was to get screaming, yelling kids to cheer the president on as he rode into the debate.
That would have been
fun.
That's a fascinating campaign to see the back of, because I feel like
people have no idea how this stuff comes together.
Because 91, you know, I remember Bush, you know, is doing the Operation Desert Storm.
Yep.
His approval
popularity
rating
was almost 90% at one point.
It was the highest I had ever seen. You know,
high 80s.
I'm a 15-year-old kid that was not exactly getting laid, so I had time to watch CNN. And from 91 to January of 91 to November of 92.
Before CNN went full commie, that was actually a pretty good network.
Yeah. Well, Wolf Blitzer, he had, you know, that beard was something else. But
they won't let me grow a beard.
They won't let you grow
a
beard?
No, I tried.
Have you shown them a picture of Wolf Blitzer and said, look, it's working for this guy. It's been 30 years he's been
right?
on CNN.
Right? Thank you.
So
I'm working on it.
But
after sweeps.
January of 91, you have a president with 90% approval rating.
Yeah.
November of 92, you have him losing to the governor of Arkansas.
You know what the problem was?
Perot?
No, I think they hired me. And they just tanked. That's all. It's, you know, I was the jinx.
You kept going, you know what, President
we
Bush?
We can't lose.
Keep doing what you're doing. The youth loves the Dockers.
The Dockers work. The Dockers work.
You know what? Keep talking about Kennebunkport.
But the inside stuff, people have no idea. Like, it is very cool. My guess is, though, working at that level now, very different. I had a lot of access. Like, the Secret Service, you'd go through the screening, and then they would give you a pin. And you could be behind the rope, and it was like you were. So the access was incredible.
But I
don't think you get that kind of access as a campaign staffer these days.
I'm curious what your analysis was, though. I mean, watching it from behind the scenes, like what, honestly, what happened? I'm not, all joking aside.
What did you see?
Yeah.
Tell us what you saw.
I will tell you when we knew it was over. There was, I was in Michigan for, there was a debate in East Lansing. And the president was in a debate with Clinton at, in Richmond.
Is it Perot at this or no?
He must have been.
Right. I mean, he was.
It's been a long time.
Wait, who was Perot?
Ross Perot.
Ross Perot. He was a third party candidate.
Oh.
He was Trump before there was Trump.
Right. Oh.
He was. But he was a little too awkward.
Yeah.
He was goofy. I mean, at that Stockdale debate, by the way, when Admiral Stockdale, in the middle of the debate, said, who am I and why am I here?
Which was, you know, it's a shame because.
Unbelievable. Running for vice president. And we're like, ooh, that's awkward.
If you read about Stockdale, though, that guy was like an American hero.
He's a war hero. The guy was an absolute hero.
And for him to say that, it was just like one misstep. And that always drove me nuts because it's like the man is a hero who has dealt with far more than Al Gore and Dan Quayle has dealt with in their lives combined.
I know.
And he has one misstep. It's the same
fun of him. It's the
same thing with Dean.
I was just going to say that in Iowa.
Yeah.
That was so unfair. I'm not a Howard Dean fan by any stretch of his politics.
I don't imagine that you are.
I like his policy on the Second Amendment. He's pretty good with the right to carry as governor of Vermont. But he's on stage. He wins Iowa. Wins the Iowa caucus. Gets on stage in a crowded room and starts screaming into the microphone.
We're going to go to Iowa. Well,
and that went viral.
Was it McGovern who cried?
Wait, who did that?
Howard Dean, who was the governor of Vermont.
He was running for president in 2000.
Was in the Iowa caucus and he won.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, that's it. He's on to New Hampshire. The guy's going to be the nominee.
And he pioneered grassroots.
He was screaming into the mic. And he even said it later. He said, you know, the reason I was screaming is you couldn't hear a thing.
Yeah.
Because there were 1,000 people in the hall screaming.
Oh, so he didn't think anyone heard what he was saying.
It was the first out of context video that I ever reacted to. Because I'm like, that's not fair.
It's so funny to see now where they take it, they pull it out of context, and they go, well, that's not very presidential.
Right.
And then flash forward 16 years, no one's presidential. I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Well, it's changed. I mean, Bush was classic presidential. He was everything that was wrong with it, though.
I miss H.W. Bush. I miss H.W.
I had a hard time working for him.
He is the kind of old school conservative.
Who I didn't like.
You didn't like him?
No, not at all.
Why?
I had a hard time. He was better than Clinton at that time.
Yeah, I thought he showed class through the last 20 years.
He wasn't going to accomplish anything. He was elected because he was Reagan's vice president.
Yeah,
it was truly the third term of Reagan.
Right, but I mean, he had an opposition party house. I mean, there was not much he was going to get done. And the fact that he worked out that tax deal, the one that sunk him in 92, that was bipartisanship way we talk about and that it led to the Gingrich revolution in a very negative way, I think. I think the Gingrich
at that time, I was the head of the College Republican National Committee, and I was on the board at the RNC.
I was 3 years old.
During that time. You were 3. How about that? And I was fighting with Haley Barbour. They actually changed Haley Barbour, who went on to become governor of Mississippi.
Right.
And he and I did not get along. And they ended up throwing me out of my office and changing the locks on the door.
So that what were you arguing about? About Bush or about Gingrich?
No, it was the whole thing. I mean, they were very nervous about the whole Gingrich contract with America. The RNC acted like they took credit for it. They were a problem.
Well, yeah,
during that time.
I think they still are a problem. I think that's a problem that seeds.
Why I like Trump?
The seeds of a lot of America's discontent were sown in 94 by those people.
So you talk about there are moments, right? And I think millennials relate to this because I think millennials, one video that shows a guy in a really bad light, and you're going to have a hard time getting over that. Like you see something like, I don't know, there's always that. So we're in the hotel room in Michigan.
Okay.
And the president's going to be there, you know, in a couple days. And my job was to make sure all the local colleges knew. We had our little chapters, and I would make sure that we had, okay, how many do I need? 100 kids? Because the Secret Service would map out the route so you knew where the cars were going to be parked, how they were going to be facing. I mean, down to the inch. Like, you knew where everyone was supposed to stand. So I had a window, like, well, you can be in this corridor here. And it was, lesson.
If I had to make my guess, your Secret Service nickname, Slick. Slick is moving. Slick is my
I never had a nickname.
I didn't have a nickname. I bet you did. You were
you
Slick.
You think they were making fun of me behind the scenes?
A little bit. Oh, here comes Slick, everybody.
Is that what you think was going on? Damn it.
Here comes Slick.
I never
Slick.
Thought that they were probably making fun in the little thing. Like, you know, he's here. There he is.
Yeah, Slick is here. He's brought the East Lansing Republican Youth Committee.
Did they
Time
have
to start
those
the party.
Sleeve talkers they did. 25 years ago?
Yeah, but they actually were wired.
Jessica just said that. Jessica just said that in a way like back in the 1800s. Yeah.
What you would do is you'd go up and you'd tap out a telegram.
Back then.
Yeah.
Right there.
Well, now Jay's got his Apple Watch. Morse code. Like, burr, burr, burr. Yeah.
Right.
Like,
now it just happens.
To it all the time.
So we're watching the Richmond debate, and it was the equivalent of something going viral then, back in the old days.
Bush checking his watch.
Checking his watch.
Checking his watch we during the I Feel Your Pain.
I got back to Washington.
Yep. After, I remember this.
And we all did our resumes. I'm like, well, this is not going to work out. Because everybody had expected, like, we can win this thing. Because right. the poll numbers had really closed because Clinton was in his own way. Right.
Well,
all
you got
the time.
You got screwed in a lot of ways. You had Perot.
And that, you know, he did this.
Yeah. Why was he checking his watch?
He was bored. And Clinton gets up, and it was town hall, so the candidates are seated. So I guess Perot must have been there. I zoned in on the watch.
Bill, I read something about this. Clinton was over his time. What I read was that, Bush wasn't bored was never able to roll it back. Bush checked his watch because he was pissed that Clinton was going over his time because Clinton wouldn't shut up.
There's no doubt that that's what happened, but it didn't matter. You saw it and you're like, because he already had this reputation like he doesn't really want it.
Right.
He came off as bored being president.
Yeah.
I don't really want this whole thing anymore.
They were asking him like what the price of milk was. And it was like, yeah,
that, he got screwed on that too.
Yeah, for 12
so
years.
So he does this tour of this new thing at the time. The scanner was new.
Right.
In 92.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were 2 or 3 years old, this whole thing of scanning your barcode was brand new.
Okay.
So they're like, Mr. President, we want you to try this out. So it was so awful. He takes it and he's like acting because he's obviously not impressed and really looks like he could give a shit about this.
Oh, look at this.
But he exaggerated. Yeah. He's like, whoa, wow. And you're like, oh God, what is he doing? And then they asked him about the price or he asked what the price was. So the spin on that was
he didn't know the price of milk.
He didn't know the price of milk. Therefore, he's just some rich guy that's totally out of touch that the servants go and buy the milk for him. And it was so unfair because he was arguably one of the nicest guys.
Right. And
family was nice. That George W. would come to the campaign office. Like it was.
Well, he was just trying to score
a
Coke.
Different. That's terrible.
In 92, he was trying to score a Coke.
It may have been a rough drinking time for him. There was a rough patch.
He was like,
hey,
Billy, I heard you could arrange a party for me, Billy.
And the woman I worked for was smoked in the office. Like you could still smoke in buildings then.
Ugh,
so we were
gross.
On 15th Street. So I would come out of my office and looked out, and the White House was at the end of the block. And her cigarette tray had an ashtray on her desk. And it was just piled with cigarettes.
That's so gross.
Yeah. It's a different world.
Bush should have owned it. Though. Bush should have owned it. He should have said, I've been vice president for 8 years and president for 4 years. If I was buying my own milk, you should have me committed.
Right.
I haven't been out of the White House in 12 friggin' years, you idiots. And everybody would have went,
Didn't his son like run to McDonald's though?
Was that?
Clinton used to do that.
Oh, it was Clinton.
Would do that with the shorts that were too short.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, it was awkward.
He needed easy access for the interns.
But this was before any of the scandals broke. Yeah. So he would go running to McDonald's, and they thought the funny scandal was, ha ha, he's saying he's running. Look at this fat guy eating McDonald's. We're like, no, he's also screwing around a little bit.
He was there to pick up the counter girls. Hey, you like presidents? But no,
You think that was his line?
I think so.
That line could probably work.
But I do wonder.
Like only a president could use that line.
Here's what I wonder. Here's what I wonder about millennials. And because we're talking about out of context video. We're talking about things that were said in your youth. You know, there's that famous picture of Barack Obama smoking the joint when he was in college. Every single aspect, Jessica, of your life for the last 10 years has been public.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part. I mean, there's probably,
there's no secrets.
Right. We're going to be in a post-embarrassment age. And I think maybe Trump is the herald of this, where you go like, there's no more scandals to be had because we all have scandals that are out.
We can all act like jerks.
Well, what I mean is like, if you go like, hey.
See, now I may take some issue with that.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you on the point that everybody has their moments. So there's the line has blurred between public and private.
And I think that we haven't quite figured out how we're going to handle that, because like you're talking about a guy in 92 who was sunk because he checked his watch. And then we're talking about a guy in 2000 who was sunk because he got a little too ebullient during a speech. 2016 rolls around. And what moving forward, like if Jessica runs for public office, you seem like a pretty straight laced girl, but I could probably find a video of you smoking something you shouldn't smoke at a party somewhere, because we're all online all the time now. Right. So there's, how do we deal with that?
Jessica's in that age though, of like smoking is bad.
Well,
you react physically. Every time smoking comes up, you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Right.
But it does, right? You have gross. A physical reaction to that.
But if you're vaping a little kush, that's okay.
Someone
right,
Jess? Trying to call into our podcast.
Do you want to answer it?
Yeah, just hit that button.
Hello?
Oh, wait, sorry.
Hello? Hello?
Unc?
Hello?
Uncle John?
Yes, this is Uncle John. You're on the air.
Who's this?
This is Uncle John, and I've got some things I need to tell you about my life right now. It's not going the way I wanted it to go.
Somehow you called into our podcast.
Okay, it's the funniest call I've ever had. All right, bye.
All right, well, you can stick with us if you want. that was interesting. That happened.
One time I was doing a college film.
I wish we got her name though.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said, look at that radio guy. Like you're on the air.
Yeah.
So we can use that call now. Bill, you don't have to edit that out, right?
So when you were in your 20s, you were talking to George W. Bush. In my 20s, I was doing a college film at a bar. It was called the Phantom of the High Street Brewery. It was basically Phantom of the Opera, but with karaoke. And I was dressed.
wait. Really?
Yeah, it was a short film that I did in college. And I was dressed, my character
God, your
was...
brain.
He didn't study acting, though.
Like 100 years from now, they're going to find Jay Black's brain, and they're going to go through it and be like, wow.
Yeah, they're going to say, oh, this is what allowed Trump to blow up the world in 2019. Brains like this.
Oh, stop.
But no, so I was dressed as a British, like a 19th century British guy, because like my whole part in this. I wrote it. My whole part was my monocle would drop because I was so, oh my, like that. You know?
Right.
So I was dressed in like a 3-piece suit with a bowler hat and a fake mustache.
I'm picturing Mr. Peanut right now.
Very Mr. Peanut.
Okay.
And a fake mustache.
Now I'm hungry.
Right?
And a monocle.
I'm hungry too. And I want beer.
And I was waiting for, you know, I was waiting for them to call me to set. And I was standing right next to the door. And as people came in, I started checking IDs in the British character. I'm like, no, you have to show me your ID before you come in this place. And I was a terrible British accent. It was awful. And people would stop and go, oh, okay. And they'd hand me the ID. And I'd look at it. And I'd make the monocle go in and out. Like, oh, my.
You know why?
This doesn't look quite right to me.
The world is better if you just follow along with the rules.
Absolutely.
And people in charge.
Forrest Gump. Yeah. Forrest Gump was very popular.
That works because it works.
But it just struck me as like, how did you possibly think a 20-year-old guy dressed as a British man checking IDs in a bad accent
with a monocle.
And you went like, that's obviously the bouncer.
Obviously, this guy's in charge.
America, man.
Listen,
holy
it's acting,
crap.
That acting as if you belong.
Yeah.
You just, that's it.
Wouldn't you so rather just hand him your ID for 30 seconds and then walk through than argue with him?
See, that's the real millennial response. Yeah. I don't want to engage.
Yeah.
Like, all right, dude, you're in a costume. You're checking ID. There you go. Will it get me in the door?
Yeah,
because you have a choice. Do I confront it?
Yeah,
right, or I just go along.
Charlie,
I think millennials are not confrontational.
No, they are. Nah. They're just online. They start a Tumblr.
Yeah,
like, hashtag MeToo.
Just tweet about it later.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, you're not even tweeting though,
because 95%
of group chat of text messages, you just text all your friends. Can you believe this?
Is that what you do?
95%.
You don't tweet. I mean, you tweet. You're great on Twitter, but your generation does not tweet.
No.
I think your age group is moved away.
No, but we all text each other.
Right.
There's like a whole group chat of people that cannot wait to judge you as soon as that incident happens.
Really?
It's like, I can't wait to tell all my friends about this jerk checking IDs at the front door.
That's funny.
95% of bullshit could be stopped by someone just going, wait, you're dressed as a British guy.
With a monocle.
You can't possibly be the guy checking IDs. And I went, yeah, I know. Isn't that hilarious? And we would have been friends. But instead you go, well, look at this asshole. I better hashtag about
this
later.
This is why the world is actually getting better. And you're going to end up, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to work on it, that you could be a Trump voter in 2020.
Well, listen,
because this is the first no bullshit guy we've had actually ever that I can, like, literally there are no rules.
Are you confusing
no talking
are
points.
You confusing no bullshit and all bullshit, Bill?
Because yes, the Russians on Facebook. Jay, no, that's right. I forgot about that conspiracy.
I just finished reading Kurt Anderson's Fantasyland, which is a great book. Hashtag Fantasyland, hashtag Kurt Anderson.
I love that you do that, but that you won't follow it up because you're not on Instagram, nor are you on Twitter.
Hashtag, I don't give a shit. It's worth checking out because it talks about what America was founded by two groups of people, religious crazy people from England, and people who, despite the fact that everyone for 100 years returned going, there's no gold, who
you
went.
You know, not all religious people are crazy, right?
No, but the ones who founded Plymouth Rock were crazy.
See, I don't think that's historically accurate, but it's an opinion.
They believed in
it's
witches.
It's a bit of an opinion.
They said they hung people
evolution.
For witchcraft.
Evolution.
They didn't believe We've in evolution,
evolved.
Bill.
We've evolved.
They believed in intelligent design of witches. But no, listen, half the people were religious nut jobs. Right. The other half were people who, despite 100 years of people sailing back on, there's no gold, went, I think there's gold.
It could be gold.
Do you think Jay's ever said the word religion without following it up with nut job?
No. Not in ever. Listen, not in 10 years anyway.
I realized something in reading that book. As someone who was raised Catholic, we need more Catholicism and less Protestantism. And I
think, really? That's an interesting premise.
Okay, because here's the premise. Protestantism tells you your interpretation is correct, no matter what it is. Catholicism tells you the guy up there reading the book, listen to him.
Now rules and authority. Right. Humans do better in those circumstances.
That guy might be
can't be left to our own devices, Jay. Right.
So that guy, that priest might be a lunatic in a dress, but at least he's got some thoughts. Protestantism.
Oh man.
Protestantism is everybody going, well, I know nothing about this subject, but I have many opinions on it. And that Protestantism
Very
is Facebook. Protestantism is Facebook. It's a bunch of crazy people going, I think I got this.
And Catholicism is
Catholicism.
That's right. I was going to say Twitter because there are rules.
No, Catholicism.
There are rules of engagement on Twitter.
Catholicism
and limits.
Catholicism is the New York Times. Catholicism, not any paper that
before
goes.
Before it was totally fake.
Before you could say whatever you wanted, some editor has to come in and go, wait, what are you saying? Versus Facebook, where it's like, listen, I have no science degree whatsoever, but I have many thoughts on insert science subject of the day. Here's why hurricanes don't come from global warming.
This is the problem with Facebook.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying.
There are, though, scientists that will.
What?
Refute your
issue. I'm beginning
issue.
To see why Jay's not on Facebook.
Yeah. I would be happy
yes.
to hear from a
he
scientist.
Would fight
it's
everyone.
Painting a much clearer picture of why your life is
yes.
better without Facebook.
I would be happy to hear from a scientist. I don't want to hear from Uncle Joe, who I'm assuming this woman was calling because of something he wrote on Facebook.
Was it Uncle Joe or John? I already forgot.
It's Uncle Joe.
Was it Uncle Joe?
Or John?
No, it was John. It was John, right? It was Uncle John.
Some Bible name.
Yeah.
I like Bible names. They're simple, easy to remember. Yeah. And I'm bad with names.
Methuselah?
I need simple.
Methuselah is a good easy one.
John, Luke, Paul. I'm going with those.
Ezekiel? Right? Yeah, sure. Hey, Ezekiel, like, how you doing?
We have very simple names in our family. Like, I'm Bill, my two brothers, Tom and John.
I was
simple. I can't screw it up.
I was Robert. My other brother who died was also Robert. And my younger brother was Greg.
Well, they named me after a dead baby. What did they expect? So your brother died.
Yeah, my older brother
and
died.
And you got the name.
Wait, and when he was a baby?
Yeah, he died when he was a baby.
And then and your parents are like,
let's take two.
Wow. So you're Jay Robert too. Jay, or you just made up Jay?
No, so here's the thing. My older brother was
I'm so bad with names.
I'm so bad with names. I just forgot. I'm like, wait, no, that's
my older brother was Robert John Black Jr., and he died.
That's a cool name.
It was a cool name. And when I was born, they were like, we still want to do Robert Black after my dad, but we can't name him Robert John Black the III because that would be bad. So they named me Robert Jason Black. And then because
I didn't know it was Jason, did you?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, she's always
God,
it was Jay from middle school on. But like then they were looking at this baby and they were like, wow, that looks just like the baby who died. Maybe we shouldn't call it Robbie after, you know, like they had trouble bringing themselves to talk about
you know
me.
What? I want to thank you, Jay.
Yeah.
So much has become clear in the last 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
I feel like we've had a breakthrough on this podcast.
We're writing this all down and we're going to write a book about it.
This was a breakthrough moment in your podcast therapy.
The title of that book will be The Wrong Kid Died.
Wow. And see, and then it devolves that quickly.
Oh,
I don't
so
believe
sad.
In devolution, Bill. I believe in intelligent design.
What does your ID say?
Robert Jason Black. And I just go by Jay. And so whenever I didn't know my middle name was different from my first name until I went to elementary school. I was in kindergarten and they were like Robert Black. And I was looking around like, oh, one of my relatives is here. Fantastic. And I was like, no, that's me. So,
wow. I'm still digesting.
Yeah. Well, it's, I feel like that's, if you're really tracking, it probably came, a lot of the early issues came from that. I was both oldest child and middle child. I had
so,
like,
it's so much old-ish. Clearer now.
Yeah.
Old-ish, I felt like, is that what we're calling it?
Yep.
Yeah. I felt like I had like all that. Of the responsibility to have all of the neuroses.
Oldish, so. Blackish.
Do we have a title for this one?
Maybe
breakthrough, therapy breakthrough.
No, the wrong kid. The wrong kid died.
That cannot be
episode 31. The wrong kid. That cannot
be, look, I feel like we could wrap up the podcast now. Like we've achieved our life's work.
No,
I feel like that
could be done.
Jessica, I think that's just a really nice way of you saying we should probably get rid of Jay somehow. We should just find a way to get him.
Well, actually,
we did discuss his replacement.
Right. Like, Jessica, did he answer the question who would replace him?
Well, I mean, now it's a bit awkward.
It's definitely awkward to ask that now.
No,
I live in the awkward. Seriously, who would replace you?
Troy Moore.
You know what? That's not a bad idea.
He had a good voice. He's a nice guy.
Troy Moore would be great.
He changed his voice a bit, though, when he got on.
Yeah.
He went into radio voice.
What was
he
your got, first impression of Troy?
So my first impression of Troy was I was hired to judge a college comedy contest, and Troy was the funniest one, but there was a handicapped kid who was telling very sort of like self-effacing jokes that weren't very good, but I knew he was going to win, and that frustrated me.
Because he was in a wheelchair.
Because he was in a wheelchair, and listen, I get it, takes a lot of courage to do this anyway, but like if you were just objectively doing this with no emotion, that kid should not have won. So I voted for Troy.
I like that Jay has no problem being like, yeah, screw that kid.
Yeah, I'm not voting for the kid in the wheelchair.
Well, he shouldn't have won. If it was best kid who overcame adversity, I'd definitely vote for him. If it was a kid who can do wheelchairs.
Is why Bush did not get reelected.
Because?
So you thought this through and came to this conclusion about the kid in the wheelchair. And logically speaking,
I was right.
You were right.
Uh-huh.
But people react to emotion.
Yeah, humans.
So the logic of a tax plan that raised my taxes, I don't really care if it was a good plan or not. You raised my taxes, I don't like you, and you lied about it.
Absolutely.
How about that? We have really solved tremendous problems today. Well, this was a breakthrough at many levels. It's
people vote with their hearts, not with their heads. And I go a step further. They vote with the shit around their hearts because they don't even know what's inside them because they haven't self-analyzed.
Well, I think I don't know. I don't think everyone needs therapy. We need less therapy.
No,
Jay has self-analyzed a lot today. No,
too much. I think you're a classic overthinker. You know what I think? I think you ought to drop the Wellbutrin and the therapy.
I think I should up both.
I think you should drop everything.
I think I should up both until I become Mr. Hyde.
I think we should do a podcast after a week of nothing. Like, you don't talk to anyone. You don't take any pills. And we do like a podcast post 10-day detox.
Do you want to do it direct from the institution or
the first time I met Jay, like I think he just turned up in the green room and like an hour late, but you weren't late, but we like started one of the charity shows with Joe Piscopo, and the first time I met Jay, runs in sweaty, pops in the chair, pops all these pills in his mouth, and I'm like, who's this psycho?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know what's funny about how Jessica set that up? For a minute, I thought Jay wasn't here, and we were talking about like the postmortem of the discussion after he passes.
Yeah,
that's God, nice. Remember when I met Jay? Remember the time, Jay?
This is like Huckleberry Finn. I get to come to my own funeral.
We'll have
I love
beer
it.
At that. That podcast, the Memorial Jay Black podcast, will definitely have
beer. No, it should be whiskey. I don't drink beer. Drink
whiskey.
Whiskey. Right. And
I had whiskey last night.
Which kind?
It was Whiskey Thursday at the bar, and I got a flight.
You got a what?
A flight. What's whiskeys?
What's I love a flight. It's one of the great things. What bar?
In Philly? It was outside of Philly. Oh,
there's a great bar in Philly that does that.
Is it called the Whiskey Bar?
I don't know.
There's the Whiskey Bar is in New York. Is there one in Philly too?
Probably. Anyway, whiskey is pretty good.
Wait, was it good?
Like one sip is all you need though?
Was it bourbon or rye?
I don't know.
Whiskey's so good. I had a great whiskey.
But I was like, this is pretty good.
I love whiskey. And the flight is great because you only get a little bit, but you can.
That's all you want, though. It's just like a sip of it.
No,
you're not gonna.
No, you want more.
High West.
No, you don't.
High West is a new whiskey.
Jessica,
I'm trying.
Jessica, you want more?
Yeah, you definitely want more.
You know, that was
any
my
ice. Did you put it? Did you put any water or ice or anything? Just straight.
Just straight.
Yeah, it's good for you. How about that? I'm very impressed.
You know, that was my philosophy with every single bad drug you can put in your body was more. That's the
But if you can do it in moderation.
No.
things like whiskey are delicious.
You can't.
Because there's a taste. It has a taste to it. It's not like doing shots of vodka. No. Or even tequila.
You can sip
which
it.
I also like
tequila. You can sip it and it's delicious, but you can also delicious. Gulp it and
I gotta make find your problems the name of that go away. Oh, what the heck is it? I can't remember now. Anyway, they're not sponsored, so I don't want to plug
it. Bill, you know what's on the other side of a gulp of whiskey? Nothing.
Do you know what we need to do? That's I don't know what to say.
And that's what's so lovely about it.
Wait, what about whiskey? You like got cut off.
What? About, no, it's. I was just wait, saying.
Did I cut him off? No, or did you go to Instagram? In your head, in Jessica's
Troy,
mind,
Troy
you
is
got
tweeting
cut off.
Me. Troy Moore is tweeting me right now.
Dick pics.
Did he? Is
nothing
he,
no. But dick pics.
Yeah.
Did
DPs?
Did he follow me? Did he not follow? Is that what we call them, DPs? That's not right. There's something wrong with that. Don't make that the title either. Oh, all Troy right. Moore. Thanks again for having me on the show. All right, so I'm going to retweet that. He tagged you, Jay, so you should honestly.
Nah.
He followed me.
I think
I'm following
after this
him
therapy
back.
Session, we know that Jay does not need to be on Facebook or Twitter.
No, no. I think you should drop all. You should disable this handle. Like, you shouldn't even have it.
I feel like what we've discovered is what anybody who's a loyal listener of the podcast
wait, did
knows.
You all just hear that?
What?
It was my stomach.
No, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I'm starving.
I thought, was that, was your stomach the little voice that said, you should die, Jay? No one loves you.
It is 6:18.
You should kill yourself because no one loves you, Jay. Is that what you're, because
no,
I
you
heard
have
that.
A comedy show to go to?
Yeah, I heard that.
I think you got to go. It was, no, it was saying I want pizza. That's what it was saying.
Pizza sounds so
that,
good.
Maybe that's what I heard.
That's it was pizza and beer. All right, we got to get out of here. I am Bill Spadia. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Bill Spadia. Follow Jessica at Chasing Jess Nutt and go check out Jay wherever he is going to be. Actually, guess what? Tomorrow night, he is going to be at Punchline in Philly, the Punchline.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's up to you. Will you find happy-go-lucky Jay making jokes? Are you going to find Jay as Tom Hanks in Punchline spinning out of control talking about the first time he had to dissect a frog?
Wow. Very deep.
Thank you.
Who are you going to get?
Who knows?
Hey, but if you
who
subscribe.
Who are we
going to
get?
I don't know. I'm a little nervous about it. You can win. It threw me a little bit. Now I have to think of what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. You have to subscribe and then comment.
There's tickets.
And then we have two tickets to give away, which we will leave at will call. So you go to the Punchline Philly. Actually, and put your email
you put
in your
email,
comments,
I'll
right?
Be in touch
and then
with
we'll
you.
Email you if you win.
Yeah,
and then we'll talk to you.
I'll do
right?
The write-up for this and put your
I think
email
it's a great
in the comment.
Idea.
You have 24 hours from when this drops. You have from now until tomorrow.
So
this will drop. Actually, this will drop midnight on Wednesday, November 8th. I am performing at 8 o'clock November 9th. So you have exactly
36 hours.
36 hours, give or take, to get a comment in.
And I would say 36 hours by noon on Thursday.
And I'll be honest with you. I have six pairs of tickets to give away. So, you know, if you're one of the first five, I'll be able to get you two pairs of tickets. So do it.
And then we'll talk about the next thing we're going to do.
Yeah, let's do it.
Good.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye. Wink, wink. Kiss, kiss.